News, talk, evolve. WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Sox fans, join us as the White Sox take on the Cleveland Indians Saturday, July 29th at 6:10 p.m. In fact, every home game on Saturday from here on out is a 6:10 game, unless I've completely missed one. Yeah, no, they're all at 6:10, so there you go. You don't even have to put it in account. Just know that you need to be here at Guaranteed Rate Field about 5:15 or so, about an hour before the game starts. That's when you see some of the good BP and some of the fun stuff. You get yourself in a low taste without a line and sit down and just kind of enjoy it out here. 6:10 ball games from here on out on Saturdays. Anyway, on 6:10, at 6:10 rather, July 29th against the Indians, the first 20,000 fans will receive a 1917 throwback jersey presented by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. You can purchase your tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. Been talking quite a bit about the trade of Jose Quintana and wanted to bring you kind of inside the clubhouse, or at least best we could, and get you the reaction from some of his former teammates, now former teammates. Derek Holland, guy who liked him a lot, guy who worked with him in the rotation. One of the guys that we're going to hear from in just a few seconds. We'll go through the mailbag and through a farm report in a little bit and maybe a bit of the scouting reports of the few prospects that the White Sox get back for Quintana. But here is White Sox left-hander Derek Holland on the departure of Jose Quintana.
You know, it's part of the game. We haven't been playing the way we wanted to. You kind of see something like this coming, but it's part of the building process, and you got to respect that. But when Q was here, we had some good laughs. He was out there. We played catch with him for the last time. He definitely didn't want to leave. He loves it here. He loved the staff. He loved the players. But, you know, at the same time, he's happy to – his move was not as far as it could have been. So for him to be able to go, you know, just right next door to the Cubs, obviously they're doing some good things over there. So it's good for him. And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best. And like I said, he was one of the coolest teammates to be around. He welcomed me very well when I first got here. But to see him go, it sucks, but that's part of it.
How tough is it to lose a player like that with this team going forward?
I mean, it's definitely gonna be tough. I mean, he's a good mentor for the younger guys. This was his house, and to let me come in and be a guest, the way he treated me was perfect, and then just the way he carried himself. I mean, he worked hard. He was a good example for all the younger guys coming through the system. But, you know, when you lose somebody like that, you know, we got to fill in the spots and when the new guys start coming up here and help them to feel as comfortable like he did for me.
So, I'm sorry, was he here when he got traded? Was he around you guys when?
He wasn't here when he got traded. He came here to clean up his stuff and, you know, to move out. And he, you know, obviously had to play catch. And so we all made sure we could play catch with him and stuff. You know, it was me and Carlos was here. Tommy was here as well. But we all, you know, we made it to the last day here, I guess.
And you made a video too.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, we wanted to have fun with him. You know, it's once he left, me and Carlos had talked, and we're like, we got to do something. You know, we got to send him out a good way, and we made sure we had some fun with it.
What does that say about your relationship with him and the relationship he has with the team that you're able to kind of post something that's fun and lighthearted?
Yeah, I mean, it's to have something like that shows how good the chemistry was here. And, I mean, it still is. I shouldn't say was. You know, with him being here, he was a key member to the staff and obviously the organization as well. So to lose him, though, is one of those things that kind of takes you away and makes you realize, you know, this is a business. And when you're going to meet a lot of guys on the way, you got to embrace it and have fun with them. And like I said, he did a great job of bringing guys in like myself that, you know, weren't a part of this organization and made us feel welcome. And then now he's leaving to go somewhere else, and they're going to do the same to him.
You came here as a free agent, and you knew what was going to happen this year, but is it so hard to reckon with that no matter, you know, knowing what the sensibilities are?
I mean, it's that way no matter where you are. Just because you got a contract doesn't mean you can't be traded. And so you got to look at it that way, is keep the positive side, but when you're here, you know, I'm a White Sox. That's what I'm here for. So, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to represent these guys and help them to win. And obviously it starts with, you know, me pitching better. That's what I got to do, but can't get caught up in these trades. I mean, it's part of the way this game is, and you just got to embrace it and have fun. And when it does happen, you know, be there for that guy if it's a guy that's being traded somewhere, or if it's a guy coming in, help them, you know, feel welcome when they get here.
And that's Derek Holland. For what it's worth, I know that Ricky Renteria, the manager of the club, has had conversations with guys with his team as a whole about keeping their heads in the game. It doesn't seem as though Well, it seems as though it's understood that this is where this club is, but it's tough to find any portion of the ball game in which anybody's checked out. I mean, whether you're watching Tim Anderson making a diving, leaping grab last night, or some of the bullpen arms coming out and throwing gas. I mean, this is a club that understands that it's out there to win every single ball game. I think Ricky put it best. He said the other day, you know, you're from 7 o'clock until about 10:30 or so, there's only one thing on your mind, and that's an important thing to keep focused on. You do have to, however, be a human about it. And Derek Holland and Carlos Rodon both were, you know, having a little bit of fun with it and just kind of trying to bring some levity to the situation. You lose a guy like Quintana, somebody so well-respected. I don't know if you saw it on Instagram. You probably saw it. Holland posted the Boys to Men song, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday, is playing in the background, and it's just some melancholy shots of Derek Holland and Carlos Rodon trying to say goodbye to Jose Quintana the best they could. And then at the end of it, Holland promises to auction off the rest of Quintana's stuff because apparently he left it there in the locker. It was still there today. Still there today. So I don't know when that auction is taking place or if Q has somehow managed to hold on to all his old Sox stuff. We'll see. But if you start seeing, you know, like the eBay handle Dutch Oven auctioning off White Sox gear, I'm just saying it's probably legit, and maybe that's worth spending a couple of dollars on. Want to hear as well from another guy who's close to Q and was a big part in his development coming up through the White Sox and getting things right this year too. Sat down with Don Cooper earlier this afternoon, the White Sox pitching coach. And you'll have to give us a little bit of a pass here. Sometimes out at the ballpark, there are noises that can't be avoided. One of the great bands the White Sox have, doing some of the pregame stuff, was warming up and getting set and tuning the instruments. So do give it the old ballpark pass. But Don Cooper and I talked a bit about Jose Quintana, a few other things about the pitching on this club, too. Here he is, White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper. Coop, obviously, over the All-Star break, you guys moved Jose Quintana up to the north side and got back a pretty nice package of prospects. What do you remember most about Q from his starts here and into this season and where he got?
Oh, gosh, I remember everything, really. You know, all of the sidelines, all of the conversations we've had, all of the things we worked on, you know, all of the things he incorporated in. I remember it all from the first pitch he threw in Cleveland when we first brought him up. You know, it's actually sad, but it is what it is. We're in a rebuild process, and everything and anything may happen. And he came in as a minor leaguer from AA, probably a fifth starter, and then he became the number one starter for us this year. And we were able to get some good prospects that we like in return for him.
One of the things that stood out to me most about Q was his coming around as a minor league free agent. And one of the things that Rick Hahn said earlier yesterday was just how much he was a testament to his own work ethic, to the coaching staff here, and to the development guys as well. Is there any one thing that stood out about Q to you from the work ethic standpoint?
Yeah, well, you know what? The thing, I've said it for a long time. This kid was going to get every ounce of his God-given ability out because he was going to work as hard as he could, practice as hard as he could. His sidelines were impeccable. Always working on things. We're always working on trying to improve stuff from, you know, game to game and year to year, looking at his numbers, looking at things that he could improve on. And he was into it and attentive, never forgot anything you said, incorporated stuff right in his work days and his sidelines, and made it a point to be focused all the time and to work to get better.
As you guys make changes to the rotation now from here on out, and you know, as the rosters start to expand a little bit later on toward the end of the season, how do you and the rest of the club kind of look at bringing up some of the younger kids? When does that process start?
You know, that's not a question for me. Right now, we got the 13 guys we have, and we're going to move along with that. If and when changes are made, who knows? There could be more trades. Rick is open for business, obviously. He said that the other day. And, there's probably more things coming. And, some people leaving here will create some opportunities for others. But until then, we've got the 13 we got.
Last thing is Miguel Gonzalez coming back into the rotation. I believe it's Tuesday against the Dodgers. how things look with Miguel since some of the sideline work and some of the minor league stuff you've seen.
Well, you know, the minor league stuff, obviously he got his innings and his pitches up. But right now we're going to have a sideline tomorrow with him, so I'll have a better idea. But Miguel is a command guy. You know, he's not a stuff guy. He's not a strikeout guy. He's a change of speeds. He's a location guy. And those are the things that are happening when he's doing well. And hopefully we can hit the ground running against the Dodgers. A tough assignment.
Coop, appreciate it as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Connor.
That's Don Cooper, White Sox pitching coach. And Miguel will indeed get the start, or is on the schedule now, to make the start Tuesday against the Dodgers. We're going to hit a quick break, and when we come back, you'll hear more from some big names in the White Sox organization, both Todd Frazier and Rick Hahn. Going to talk at you again. I'm Connor McKnight. Stay right here. You got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Who was Peter Smith, and why should we care? We'll talk about it on Connected to Chicago Sunday night at 7 here on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we're bringing you reaction from the clubhouse as Jose Quintana was traded about 8 miles north over to the Chicago Cubs. Incidentally, the Cubs have decided to start Jose Quintana, it seems, tomorrow. That would be the Sunday game. And if you count out the, you know, 5 days in between starts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it means that he would theoretically, they have an off day, do the Cubs in between those two starts. Theoretically, Quintana would make a start against the White Sox on Tuesday, the 25th. That is the second game at Wrigley Field. Of course, they could move things around and whatnot. The White Sox have 2 off days in between that span of time, Monday and then Thursday. If they choose to keep the rotation on the same run, it would be Derek Holland starts against Jose Quintana. Things can change. Who knows? We'll see. Just thought it was fairly interesting the way things lined up with those two playing each other coming up here. What would that be? The week of the 24th is what it would be. Anyway, down in the clubhouse yesterday, Todd Frazier, well, I should say this was actually in the dugout. Todd Frazier was speaking to reporters about a number of different things. I think pretty important, too, as we kind of hear his name pop up in some trade rumors. He understands it. He knows about it. The club knows about it. His teammates, you know, you're plugged into this kind of thing. TV's on in the clubhouse, that kind of deal. But it's got to be pushed out of your mind somewhat. I think Todd does a pretty decent job, pretty interesting job, too, of describing kind of how you go about doing that, how he's gone about doing that in the past. And remember, his name was in rumors before when the White Sox picked him up from the Reds just a little while ago. So here he is, Todd Frazier, White Sox third baseman, on a number of different things in and around the club, but mostly on saying goodbye to Jose Quintana.
Ricky talked to us about the fact that he talked to you guys a little bit about Jose's, among the rest of his message. How do you personally internalize, you know, losing top guy, wonderful person on top of
him? Yeah, man, he's just one of those, he's a professional, bottom line. He goes out there, works his tail off, doesn't say much about anything, whether he does good or bad, comes back and, you know, tries to do even better the next day. He's a guy that the Cubs should be very excited to have. I just saw on TV on MLB Network, he's already out in the bullpen in Baltimore in some weird colors, but, you know, getting after it. And that's how he is, you know. You'll never know inside what he's feeling. If he's having a bad day, you'll never know because, you know, he doesn't want to make other people feel bad. And he's a true worker, true competitor. And like I said, he's the number one wherever he goes.
Somebody said that the trade rumors were bothering him somewhat, and he's a true. Does
this
bother you?
No, not really, to be honest with you. It's his first trade, so, I mean, like I said, he keeps things inside. Of course, a lot of people do. You know, when I first got traded, it bothered me a little bit. I mean, not the rumors I love, because when people are talking about you, most of the time it's usually good things. And if it's a bad thing, then you know what you did wrong inside, and then you know you're in trouble. But when I'm not in trouble, it's just a rumor. I love it. I love to see it on there, but you never know really what's going to happen until you finally get that call. But for Q, I can understand. It's the only team he's played for. He came up with this team. He knows the coaches, from the security guards to the fan that usually sits in the seat here to the right. You know, so for him, it'll be. Like I told him, I said, just go out there and play baseball. Don't matter who you're playing for, we'll still be here for you. And bottom line is, it's a business, and you just got to understand that he'll be fine. Don't you worry. He'll be playing in front of a lot more fans. You know, just be, you know, probably more excited, to be honest with you.
Has there been any
as an established player in this situation where you have to focus on development, how do you deal with this situation? Like, what are the things you try to remember or emphasize for yourself?
Yeah, just keep going on. It's just baseball again. You know, the hardest part is getting my family, moving everything out. That was basically it, but it was in the offseason, luckily. Q doesn't have to move. Maybe he'll stay in his apartment or wherever he's living. And, yeah, that's probably the toughest part is off-the-field stuff. The baseball thing's fine. You fly wherever you got to go, get your uniform on, strap it on, and go play. And like I said, when you get traded, you got to try to meet expectations. And sometimes they get you in trouble. That got me in trouble for the first month and a half last year. Instead of just going out and playing my game and focus on what I'm able to do.
As a leader on this team, among other leaders on the team, how do you guys persevere knowing that you've lost your top pitcher, that you've had a rough go to begin with on a daily basis?
Yeah, he's gone, and there's nothing we can do about it. We just go whoever's next up in line. We know Rick Hahn is doing his due diligence to make this team better than whatever he has to do, and the support staff. But, you know, they got another good trade out of it. They got four good guys, from what I heard. We see where he's headed. And, you know, it might be a game of who's next. You never know. Flip of a coin, or it might be a game of, you know, wait and see. Or it's a game of, you know, if they give us something, we'll do something. But, you know, maybe he's happy with what we got now. So you never know what's going on in his mind. Long ways to go. So we got a whole rest of the month to go and see, you know, what we're going to do.
Abreu was saying that he deserves an opportunity like this to go out there and, you know, finish off the season really strong, pick up a bunch of wins. Is that kind of a common sentiment, though? Do you feel happy for somebody if maybe they move on to a better opportunity?
Sure. Like I said, it's the business part. It's the toughest part. I think it's the toughest job in the world. You know, picking up and leaving, you know, you get traded to a job. It could be within a state and other jobs. But for Q, he deserves it. He does. He deserves everything he gets in the greatest way possible. Like I said, he works hard. He's a competitor. He's a beast. And he's quiet. And, you know, those quiet guys are usually, you know, the good ones. And the best loud ones like me, sometimes I get a little rambunctious. So it's hit or miss. But like I said, he does. He deserves to go out there and, you know, play for, you know, a team that's right now that's ready to, you know, hopefully for his sake, get in the playoffs.
You're a very, very passionate guy about the game, about life in general, and what we've seen. Are you torn between staying here and helping these guys win and in the back of your mind knowing there's a good chance you might go somewhere with an opportunity to go to the playoffs?
Yeah, it's in the back of my mind. It's way back there, though. I'm not really focused on that. I love helping the younger guys out. Whether it's on defense or hitting or, you know, off the field stuff in general, I feel like, you know, I've earned that spot. I feel like these guys listen to me, and if they didn't, you know, I'd go about my everyday business. But excuse me, going through it with the Reds and seeing how those veteran guys did it, and motioning the right way, I feel like I have you know, just an opportunity to help them out. So, you know, whatever happens, happens, honestly. But I know if I do get traded, probably to a competitive team trying to win a playoff.
This is how we get
I guess it helps. You know, you see what's going on, and then they can throw a curveball. You never know. So the next best thing, you know, could be getting a younger guy in the trade. But I know that's not what they want to do. But the team wants that to make the White Sox better. You never know what can happen. But you know, they say some guys are untradeable. But if the right thing comes along, I'm sure they can let that guy go.
Hey, Ty, have you talked with Rick to kind of be on the same page with him about your situation?
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, just go out there and be a leader and, you know, play the game the right way and pick all these guys up. They're not running. It's our job now. You know, Rick did a good job in spring training at the beginning of the year, and, you know, you can't go through the whole season, you know, yelling at people left and right for not running or, you know, not necessarily yelling, but, you know, picking them up. And it's as an older guy and, you know, me, James Shields, Palfrey Holland, a couple guys just in there. Malky, it's our turn now to, you know, pick up the pace so these guys can, you know, play the game the right way.
Ty, 4 days is not exactly a month-long vacation, but how refreshed are you looking forward to having some big numbers no matter where you are?
Yeah, no, it's go time now, man. The second half of the year is it separates the men amongst the boys. Last year, I think, was my best second half, and I'm hoping to improve on it even this year. And just keep putting up numbers, keep getting wins, because when you get wins, numbers always follow behind.
You guys seem pretty open and loose in the room. I mean, do you have conversations with the guys about what could be next, or do you talk about
that? Sure, we joke around about it. we never know, though. You know, that's, you know, it's your livelihood, so why not talk about it? But I don't think anybody's really worried about it. I think everybody understands that he'll get traded now. It's to a team that, you know, hopefully is in the mix of being the playoffs.
How do you joke about it? Like, how do you keep that loose? Because it can be a heavy topic, like you said.
You know, like this, like, knock, knock. Go ahead. Mr. Trade. I don't know. You know, stuff like that. You look at this stuff like that, or, you know, mess with each other, you know, it's that kind of stuff. So, I actually just made that up.
So we couldn't tell.
I'm from New Jersey, okay? I don't even know if I'm being serious now. No, but it is. Like, the 4 days off, you know, you kind of get a little jitty and jokingly, and, you know, that kind of stuff is just all fun, and, you know, nobody ever knows what's going to happen. No, he knows everything. He knows everything from guys being traded all the time to guys just not, you know, to trade going, trade not going, or have a veteran team. So, and he's been a part of it. So we're not worried about him. He's going to manage it and do a great job.
That's White Sox third baseman Todd Frazier. This is White Sox Weekly. We had a step to the news. We come back. We got a half an hour left of the show before we get to the pregame show. White Sox and Mariners this evening at Guaranteed Rate Field. This is WLS AM 890.
Don't miss a moment of Rush. Noon to 3 weekday afternoons on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Sox fans, don't miss the White Sox signature podcast, The Cycle. Comedian and Chicagoan Pat McGann, along with a rotating group of co-hosts, chats with athletes and celebrities about sports, life, and everything in between. Subscribe via your podcast app today. Coming up, we got the pregame show, 5:35, so just, about 25 minutes away from the start of the White Sox pregame show. Sox and Mariners coming up here this evening. Nice night for baseball, too. 6:10 start here at the ballpark. Every Saturday start, a 6:10 start from here on out. Obviously, the White Sox made some huge news, and we've been talking about it all afternoon long. Trading Jose Quintana, bringing back Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, Matt Rose, and Bryant Fleta, I believe is the last name of that young man, all into the fold, a large prospect haul that the White Sox have kind of just been collecting over the last 14 months or so. The general manager of the ball club, Rick Hahn, sat down to talk about the trade with reporters yesterday. Wanted to bring you a good chunk of that, some interesting questions about the trade itself and what Rick kind of sees setting up for later on in this month of July while the trade deadline buzzes around. Here is the GM of the White Sox, Rick Hahn.
How long do you see this process going? You've got 11 for 3 on the three big guys. You've had two drafts. How long can you see?
I honestly don't have an answer for that yet. I know we are still in the process of trying to accumulate as much talent as possible. Once we get to a point where we start seeing some of the impact talent develop the way we anticipate or hope, and contributing at the higher levels in the minors, we'll have a better sense about what a championship team will ultimately look like. There'll be holes. We might have not found an answer at a specific position internally, and we'll have to go out and either deal from a position of strength to acquire it via trade or be aggressive in free agency when the time comes. But at this point, we're still in the first stages of this process, and that's a talent accumulation stage.
Rick, are you still open for business between now and the trade deadline?
Other than the time where I have to sit here talking to you guys, we are very much open for business. So you are slowing business right now. Yes, we are. We've had a number of conversations leading up through the Quintana trade and since, and I suspect that healthy pace will continue here over the coming weeks. Again, we're, as I think we showed you with Jose and last year on the trade deadline, we're certainly not feeling any pressure to get additional deals done. We're not going to force the issue in any instance, but if the right opportunity arises where it puts us in a better position for the long term, we will act accordingly.
Do you think the trade you did yesterday kind of sparking the rest of the league? You got to get stuff done before the deadline?
You know, I think it at least sent a message in talking to a few general managers over the last 24 hours. I think they certainly understood that we were serious when we said we were getting close to something, or that it was time for to see their best cards, so to speak. And they know that we have other talks going on, and those conceivably could be on a similar pace. So I think throughout the league, it usually takes one that starts opening the floodgates, so to speak, and it could very well have been the deal from yesterday. Luis he was re-examined after the 7 days had passed in the last 24 hours. He seems to have fully recovered. He's going to begin the process of ramping back up his physical and baseball activities, and hopefully he'll return to playing games in the DSL in a couple of weeks.
You know how much you care about the people in this organization, and players' lives are always impacted by these trade talks. David Robertson just had a new baby. I know you're pretty much in lockstep with these guys, aren't you, as far as where they're at with their careers, where they're at with the Sox organization?
I think there's a nice mutual respect that goes on between the players and the front office around here, and that we're fully aware of the fact that we are potentially affecting human beings with wives, family members who are affected by the rumors, and much less by an actual transaction. We obviously were very aware of David and Aaron and what they were going through with the pregnancy, and everything now being on the other side of that has a bit of relief for them, now being able to just focus on baseball and whatever lies ahead. Speaking with Jose yesterday, he did share that, you know, the trade rumors were a little bit weighing on him. And the fact is, I think he was stunned that it actually came to fruition, but at the same time, I'm sure by now he's, as we talked about yesterday, pleased that this really will have basically a minimal effect on his day-to-day life and family, and that he doesn't have to move. So there are those human side of things that you have to at least be aware of.
Focus. How do you and Ricky keep guys focused on the field when you trade the top pitcher in the organization and you know it's going to be more difficult to win?
You're dealing with professionals here. They understand what we're about and what we're trying to do in the long term, and you try to be as honest as possible as you can with them. I know that from day one of spring training, Ricky and the coaching staff's focus has been strictly on preparing us to win that day's ball game, and that's not going to change regardless of what 25 guys are in uniform here. It's about creating that kind of expectation and that kind of culture within the clubhouse, and the players may well change. Players will certainly change over the coming years as we go through this process, but that approach to how we go about our business each and every day won't.
Rick, does the uncertainty about the roster at this time of the year make it harder to have an environment that you'd want to bring your young guys into?
I don't think it's a bad environment. So could it conceivably be an environment you don't want to bring young guys into? Yes, but that's not the environment that Ricky and the coaches have created, so I have no concerns along those lines.
What do you see as a timetable for Moncada?
We'll see. We'll see over the coming weeks. Again, it's a function for all these young guys. It's a function of two things. One, the most important part being that they've answered any questions we've had for them at the minor league level, and we feel they're prepared for that next stage of development that happens in the big leagues with the greater speed and the greater scrutiny and the, you know, all the greater tools there at your opponent's disposal to try and beat you. The second element is that we feel they have the right opportunity here to get the chance to play every day or get the ball every fifth day and contribute. Certainly, as the more deals we make, the second part opens up and there's more opportunity for the young players, but really the timeline is going to be driven by the conversations that we have with our player development people, feeling that, you know what, this guy's done everything we've asked of him here and it's time to move him to the next level.
Knowing that pitchers only have so many bullets in their arms, how protective will you be of your young pitchers going through a minor league system, maybe considering not adding on a 6 month to their season, and looking forward to keeping this group together as a pitching unit, as a team unit?
It's definitely a part of the development plan. Each individual pitcher has their own development plan. We've had, knock on wood, some success over the years keeping guys healthy by being diligent in terms of their workload and what we're asking of them in any given season. We do have a handful of guys down there, whether it's because they were drafted last year or dealing with injuries previous seasons, but this is really their first full year of competing as a pro. Those are guys you're not going to tax, not going to, as good as a season as a certain player may have, if they have yet to have a full season of innings under them, they're going to be done once they reach that workload level. We're not going to add that 6 month through a September call-up on a guy. Congratulate him on meeting his developmental goals for the year and tell him to go get some rest.
Rick, you told us after the two trades in the offseason, from the Sox fan base, you were hearing a lot of kudos and positives. Did you hear the same thing after yesterday?
Yeah, way too much. It was a little scary. No, it's been very positive. It's been very positive. There's a good feel in the front office throughout various departments. There's good feel, good feeling throughout the fan base, from at least what I've heard, and the people who've reached out to me, and the emails and calls I've gotten. That said, we knew that dealing a player as accomplished and high quality as Quintana brought the potential for negative feedback, and that didn't deter us from making the move. And regardless of the risk that might lose some of that good feeling as this process continues, we are going to remain focused on doing what we feel is best for the long-term healthy organization. And hopefully those moves continue to resonate with the fan base. And if for whatever reason they don't, hopefully they at least see where we think this thing is headed and why we're making the moves that we are.
That is the general manager of the White Sox, Rick Hahn. Wanted to bring you some of that from yesterday. Of course, the White Sox making the huge move, blockbuster trade. In fact, sending Jose Quintana to the Cubs for a package of top-tier prospects in Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, and two more who might not fit the top tier, but certainly the White Sox have some interest in. Still, Eloy Jimenez ranked one of the top five prospects in all of baseball. He joins that White Sox core of prospects, a lot of them ranked very highly, just like Jimenez himself. We come back, we will get into the mailbag. A lot of you left messages on Twitter, at C1McKnight. Bulls Nation, though, come on out to the park Monday, July 31st, for Bulls Night, as the Sox take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Purchase a specially priced ticket package to receive a game ticket, a White Sox-Bulls mini basketball, and the chance to watch BP before the gates open. Visit whitesox.com/ChicagoBulls. to purchase this specially priced ticket package. I'm Connor McKnight. We will conclude White Sox Weekly with the mailbag when we come back here on WLS AM 890.
WLS AM 890.
You've got mail.
What's in the box?
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. This is the mailbag. We do it every week. You can leave us messages all throughout the week. C1 McKnight on Twitter. Or you can give us a phone call. That applies now, 312-591-8900. You get into the mailbag, you can join in on the show. A couple of things that have been buzzing about since the trade of Jose Quintana on Twitter. A couple of questions that have been asked. And I will do my best to answer them. This from Scott M. on Twitter. When Moncada comes up, where does Saladino go? This is not a seniority thing. Yolmer would be the spare infielder, yes or no? A couple of things there, Scott, and it's a fair question. I think first and foremost, and I know a lot of questions were about Moncada, and a lot of people concerned, not concerned, that's the wrong word, but just curious, I think, as to when and if he's coming up this year. First of all, I think this, and this would be no surprise to anybody. I think these rumors kind of started circulating late last night as we were wrapping up the postgame show here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Really does kind of sound like there's a lot of buzz around the Red Sox, perhaps kicking the tires on one Todd Frazier. Ken Rosenthal, who does a terrific job covering the league, Fox Sports, saying that, yeah, it does seem like there's a match there. We'll have to see if things happen. I don't know that imminent is the way. It's definitely not the way that Rosenthal himself was describing it, but it's something to look for. And I think with what we just heard from Rick Hahn on the broadcast a little bit earlier, there may be moves later on. So to kind of, to speculate about a potential roster jam kind of seems a little premature at this point, especially since we've got a good full 2 weeks before the trade deadline comes and goes. Even more than 2 weeks, really. I guess it's two weeks, three days before the deadline comes and goes. And we'll have to see. I wouldn't be surprised if teams call about a number of players on this club. There have been some surprising performances from a few people that may indeed cause some need for guys coming up from the minor leagues who are or aren't Yoan Moncada. We'll have to see. This from Chicago Colt. No reason to bring up Moncada this year. Don't rush him just to sell a few more tickets. I can assure you that's not going to happen. I think you heard Rick Hahn mentioned it. And I think this too. Remember, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured in this game, right? If you're injured, you're not playing. If you're injured, you're more than likely on the disabled list. A lot of guys play hurt, right? And while Moncada went on the disabled list with that, sore thumb, sprained bone bruise kind of thing, I think is how they termed it medically, a bone bruise. I'm doing a horrible job describing it. A bone bruise that really did affect him and seemed to, even after he came back off the disabled list, or perhaps some rusted or whatever, either way, the strikeouts came back up. I want to know, and this is just me speaking hypothetically more or less, but I got to know if he's hurt or injured, so to speak. I know he's playing right now, but I don't want to bring him up for any kind of major league. And again, this is just me. I don't want to bring him up for any kind of major league at-bats if he's still feeling the effects of that thumb. None of them. I don't need him dealing with anything less than 100% of Yoan Moncada's abilities up here at the big league level if it's going to be just for September, you know, if it's going to be for a couple of weeks in August or just September. That's if he's healthy, if he's fine, if he's all good, that's a different conversation. And I think once Yoan has checked off the lists, what he's got to check off the lists, I think indeed that's what we'll see. So that's going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly. Thanks so much for chiming into the mailbag. You can do that every week at C1 McKnight. That's the Twitter handle. We appreciate you all dropping some questions in. Hope we got to as many as we could. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, we got to thank a number of folks. Don Cooper for coming on the show. You heard from Rick Hahn and Derek Holland and Todd Frazier on the show, too. We will start the pregame show in just a couple of minutes, 5:35. We'll get things rolling there. In case you missed our interview with Don Cooper, you can check it out then on the pregame show. It's Mike Pelfrey and Felix Hernandez starting for the White Sox and Mariners this afternoon, this evening, really. Come on out to the ballpark. Some great weather out here. Still a chance to get out here and enjoy the game. I'm Connor McKnight. Thanks for calling, texting. Most of all, thanks for listening. Thanks to Don Kleppen, our producer, and Michael Garay and Dave Zaslowski for getting us on the air. We'll talk to you next Saturday on White Sox Weekly. The pregame show's next on WLS AMA 90.